take him in there where their belief was the presence of God was. They took him to the gate and they turned him around so he could face the people coming in. That's really interesting, isn't it? Peter and John were coming to meet God. This man was carried in and he was going to be put there so he could beg for some help from the people of God. There's a huge difference in those two. Two guys are walking on their own 2 feet. They are standing tall. And they are moving ahead, walking into God's plan for their life. And one guy's lame. He can't stand up. He can't make it on his own. He's got to be carried. He's got to have some help. And so every day, for 40 years, they've taken this little boy when he was a child, they've taken him when he was a teenager, they've taken him when he's an adult, because the family needs money to make it. Everybody's got to be able to contribute. Now, as a man, he comes and he sits and he begs. He says, "Give me enough for me to get by till tomorrow. I just need enough to be able to make it one more day." And he's looking for people who have the love of God in him to be able to help. But his expectations are too low. He's looking for Peter. He's looking for John. He's looking for other people like him to help him be more comfortable in his lame state. He's not looking for God to do something beyond his imagination. He's already given up hope on that. And I think there are a lot of people in this world that are satisfied with a lame life. They look at life and they say, "I can't make it. I just got to get by. I'm satisfied if I can just have an okay life. I'm not even thinking about something that's adventurous and fantastic, something that is beyond my imagination where I actually am providing for others. I just got to have enough to make it right here. Life and circumstances of life are weighing me down, and I am struggling. And I'm not looking inside that church for the God that's in there to make me able to stand up and walk on my own. I've given hope on that. I was lame when I was born. I was lame all my life. I have never been able to make it. I've never been able to hold it together. I've had problem after problem. My parents had those problems. My grandparents had those problems. Everybody in my family has these problems. Nobody I know can stand on their own 2 feet. I can't stand on my own 2 feet. I'm going to be this way forever. I got to have some help." And he's a symbol to us, not just of the physical healing that you know is coming, but he's a symbol of the spiritual healing that needs to happen in all of our lives progressively. But our expectations have to be lifted up to where they are God's expectations for us. Because if we live with low expectations of getting by in this world, our lives are going to be a depressing, difficult struggle. And I'm sure this man who sat at this gate had a real struggle looking at life each day. And he was grateful for the people who came by and picked him up and gave him what he needed for the moment so he could keep going. But without those people, he couldn't make it. He had to have those people because he didn't have what was inside necessary to stand up. What's interesting about this gate is Jesus walked through this gate many, many times. Why was this man not healed when Jesus must have passed him by many times? He probably passed him by when he was 12 years old. Because this man is older than Jesus. He was 7 years old when Jesus was born. He might have been 10 years old, depending on which historians are right on that. All the time when he walked through and healed people, he didn't heal this guy. Why? You know, I read back over and I looked at some of those stories. This reminds me of another story when someone was carried. You remember that? that paralyzed man, they didn't carry him to the church door and set him down at the gate so he could beg, so he could ask for help. They took him and they broke through the roof and lowered him down in front of Jesus looking for a miracle. I thought about some of the other people. Why did Jesus heal these blind people, these lame people? You know, many of them chased him down. I remember some of the stories where the disciples would tell them, "Be quiet." You remember that? But they wouldn't be quiet. And they cried out. And they cried out for Jesus, the Son of David, to have mercy on them. I remember those 10 lepers that were healed. And 9 of them walked away and never came back to thank God. And one of them did. You remember that story? I wonder about this man. We know he's going to be healed. I sometimes wonder what his life was like after God healed him. Because his expectations of what God could do were very low before. And I know God did a miracle in his life, and it's kind of interesting that all the times that Jesus walked past this man, he was not healed till this moment in time, and Jesus is going to use it to start a great revival and to bring many people to Christ. I wonder if this man spiritually was healed like he was physically. I know he was grateful, but did he continue his life with low expectations, or did he become like Paul and John? The Bible doesn't tell us that. But it does tell us that his expectations were very low. And even though he knew all the theology about his standing and relationship with God as a Jew, and though he was in the temple performing the duties that he needed, and because he was getting things that helped him get by, which certainly were blessings and certainly were necessary, he had all those things going, but it doesn't seem that those things connected to his daily life in a way that made a huge difference. He laid on that cart and he begged. Well, the story continues, and when Peter and John were about to enter, he asked him for some money. He said, "Hey, I'm in a terrible shape right here. Things are very difficult for me. I need some help. You're in better shape than I am. I can see you're coming in here. God has blessed you. Will you bless me? Will you help carry me along a little bit? Will you give me something to help me make it till tomorrow? Will you help me get by? Will you help make my life okay for today?" Probably without realizing how short-sighted that is, he asked for some money just like he had asked for many, many, many times before from many, many people. And so he asked Peter and John for the money. And Peter and John looked at him intently. And Peter said, "Look at us. Stop and look. There's something going on here that you're not seeing. You're living life on this plane with these expectations, and you're asking for just enough to be able to survive and get by. Look at us." You know, Jesus always said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Because just because Jesus was speaking and just because the word was being spoken does not mean that the message is being heard. He said, "Look at us." And the lame man looked at them eagerly. And what was he expecting? Some money. He was expecting some money. And he probably wasn't expecting a ton of money, but with Peter saying, "Stop, look at us," he was probably expecting a little more than normal. His expectations went up. He's thinking, this is probably going to be a pretty good donation here. And he gets excited, but he's looking at the wrong realm. And so Peter and John continued, and they realize his expectations are in the wrong place. And it's interesting what they say. Peter said, I don't have any silver and gold for you. I don't have any for you. Now, let's face it. These two guys could have gone out and scrounged up a dollar or two to help this guy. It's not like they have no money and no resources and no way to get any money. It's not like they're just in as completely a destituted state as he is. If they would have been that way, he wouldn't have asked him, would he have? They could have scrounged up a couple of bucks someplace. But they weren't willing to give him what he asked for. They were willing to give him what he needed. And if he got what he asked for, he wouldn't be seeking what he needed. He'd be getting by and continuing life with low expectations. And so Peter says, I don't have any silver and gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. Well, I'm sure that was a shocking statement to this man. But what they did is they said, look, quit looking for what you need to get by in this world right here. And you know, if we look at it, really what most of us ask for has something to do with money. And when most people think about blessings, it has something to do with money. It has something to do with things that money can buy. It has something to do with security that we think money can bring. It has something to do with status that we think money will give us. But it has to do with material things, thinking in a material level just like this man, not seeking first the kingdom of God so all those things are added to us to enhance our life, but not seeking first the kingdom of God and seeking these things as the Gentiles do, and as we get them, we find they destroy our lives. He said, I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. So in other words, he says, stop looking out there. Start looking up here. What you need is in Christ. It's not in this world. You can scratch and you can fight and you can claw and you can manipulate and you can scheme and you can beg and you can scramble to get by in this world, and you know what you get? By in this world. God created us for much more than that. And that will never satisfy us. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. That was out of this man's concept. You know what? This man never thought he could get up and walk. He wasn't even thinking about getting up and walking. That would be a miracle. That would take God to do something like that. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and he helped him up. Now he did help him, but he helped him to find Christ. He helped him to stand on his own two feet. He helped him to stand to take responsibility for himself and for the reason God had created him. He took his hand and helped him up, but you know what? He didn't pull him up. The guy needed some help. He needed to be pointed in the right direction. He needed to put his faith in God, but how many of you know he wasn't getting up like this as dead weight if he's a man over 40 years old? He had to do what? He had to stand up too. He had to try to do what he never thought he could do with the belief that God might help him actually do it. And as he did, as he tried to stand on his own, God did a miracle. I think it's really interesting how this story plays out. Because as he tried to get up, God gave him what? Strength. And instantly healed and strengthened this man. And he jumped up. He couldn't believe it. He had thought he was going to spend the rest of his life being carried around by others, not able to shoulder the responsibility for his own problems, for his own whatever in life that circumstance put against him. But he stood up and saw that God was going to help him. And God would strengthen him and God would enable him. And he got excited. He got excited about what God had done. And he began to walk. And then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them, Peter and John. So there was a notable miracle that happened there. Now this is interesting because all the people saw him walking and they heard him praising God. And it made an enormous difference. He was doing something that he never thought he would do. He always came with a prayer request, but he never had a testimony. He spent the first part of his life asking for help, asking for prayer, asking for donations, asking to be carried, but he never had anything to give because he was a beggar, because he was lame. Now all of a sudden he's going to get up and immediately he is going to start to touch other people. Jesus says this, I came to give life, life in all its what? In all its fullness. If we expect less than that, we're not taking God at his word and we're not honoring God with our lives. God came to, I love the way the New Living Translation puts it. My purpose, Jesus says, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I know a lot of people read that and say, oh, that means he's going to give me money. But everybody in here knows he's not talking about money, is he? He's talking about the kind of life you wouldn't trade for anything because you like who you are, because you are God's creation. You are who you want to be. Exactly who you want to be. Because you're amazed at what God does through your weaknesses. And you are satisfied with your life. That is the inheritance of every Christian. And if you do not have that, you are not walking or expecting what Christ died for in your life. It's why he came. It wasn't so that we could lay in a bed and beg for some kind of emotional or spiritual help out of a service or out of a song or out of a friend or out of a Bible study group or something to get me by for today as I struggle through my life and my problems, because there's no end in sight, no hope. But it's a rich, satisfying life that realizes that God is with me and he is working in ways I cannot see. This is Johnny Erickson Tata. Everybody in this room knows who she is. When she was 15, 16 years old, she dove off a cliff and broke her neck. Still in a wheelchair. That's a good place to be, where you could say, hey, I can't make it on my own. Carry me through life. My life circumstances are so tough, there is no possible way that I am ever going to make it. Help make my lame, limping life better. Help make it okay for a day. Help me to get by. Look at the circumstances I'm in. Please help me. How many of you know she has a rich, satisfying life? She struggled to do things that people said she couldn't do. She draws these cards. I wonder how long that took to learn how to do. She goes around, and there is no telling how many people have been encouraged and strengthened and brought to Christ through Johnny Erickson in a wheelchair. She's gone to handicapped people and given more wheelchairs to people who are crippled in this world than anybody else. Here's what she says. God is more concerned with conforming me to the likeness of his son than leaving me in my comfort zones. God is more interested in inward qualities than outward circumstances. Things like refining my faith, humbling my heart, cleaning up my thought life, and strengthening my character. Well, she understands exactly what God is doing. And he's doing it in her life. And even a wheelchair can't keep her bound. Dave Reaver, some of you have heard about. In the Vietnam War, he went back to throw a hand grenade. It was shot with a bullet and blew his face off. White phosphorus burned him over 70, 80% of his body. Countless surgeries. During that time, was hopeless, wanted to give up and kill himself, went to pull out what he thought was his life support, and ended up finding out that all it was the feeding tube, and he just started getting hungry, tried to commit suicide a couple of times, did not do it, finally went into a church all by himself and started angrily shouting at God. And somewhere there, God broke his heart. And he walked out of that church realizing that the circumstances he was in did not cripple God. It was only crippling him. And he went out realizing that God could use his scars to heal others, and he has done that around the world. I've heard him personally. David Ring got MS. From a little boy, he had MS. I remember watching him talk and say, "I can eat by myself. That might not be a big deal to you, but to me, it's a big deal. I never thought I would get married. I never thought I would find love. I never thought I would dress myself." All these things, when he gave his heart to God and asked God to make something out of his pathetic little life, he thought. And God has had him speak to millions. Some of you may have heard him. It's really hard to look at the circumstances you're in and say, "I can't make it," after you hear what David Ring has gone through and how God has blessed him. Some of you know Nick Vujicic. Yeah, thank you. Vujicic. And here's what he says. "Born with no arms, no legs, and some godly parents, I honestly didn't think miracles could ever come from my broken pieces, and I was disabled in fear that my dreams would always remain as dreams." That's low expectations. Let me tell you, this guy's been touched and healed by God, whether he ever physically walks on this earth or whether it's in heaven. He has a rich and satisfying life. He is not a beggar who is sitting at the gates of the temple looking out instead of up. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on love. Don't give up on you. 2 Chronicles 16:9, one of my favorite verses. I memorized this when I first became a Christian. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is" what? "Completely his." Focused on him, following him, believing this that Psalms 27:13 says, "I am confident that I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living." Those people I just saw you, none of them have seen physical healing. All of them have seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. All of them have a rich, satisfying life. They would not trade for what God has done and given them. God will do that for all of us. Do you expect God to do great things in this church, in your life? Peter and James came to church expecting great things, and they came to give whatever it took. And I'm not talking about money. They came to see what God could do through them. How God could be alive in them. And when they realized he was lame, the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. And Peter saw his opportunity, and he addressed the crowd. "Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed, and you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes." I'm going to take this opportunity also. Jesus Christ died that you might have life in all its fullness. He did not die so that we could get by and have a meaningless existence that we turn around at the end of life and say, "What has really been accomplished that will not fade away? Nothing." He came to live inside of our hearts so that just as he changed this world, we change our worlds. As he changes us. And it's through faith in Jesus Christ, the power that raised him from the dead, the power that lives inside of our hearts. I expect that power to do something, don't you? Sometimes I have to admit my expectations are way too low. And God continually tries to lift my eyes up off this world to see what he is doing and to join him in it. And I don't want to be crippled. And I have been at times. I don't want to be crippled. I want to walk and experience what God has experienced me. And sometimes I've had some people take my hand and lift me up. But I'm not standing here because of anybody. I'm standing here because God used some people. But when we stand up and take our place as God's child in his kingdom, under his authority, as his servant. And God is faithful and just. He is good. And he does not leave us as beggars, not spiritually and not physically. Well, let's pray. I'm going to ask the band to come up here, and we're going to pray a song, play a song of response and thanksgiving. And I'm just going to ask you to stand with me right now. And whatever God has been speaking to you, I want you just to take this time and be still before him and follow him. Maybe God is calling you to give more of your life than you've given. Maybe God is calling you to give your life for the first time. But if God is speaking to you and something inside of your heart is saying, there is more to life than what I have, you need to stand up. Even if it's on the inside, you need to stand up and take God's hand and ask him to help you to walk. Father, we know that you did not create us to live an okay life. You did not create us to be in a place where we cannot shine forth and reflect your greatness and your glory. You didn't create any of us where without your Holy Spirit in our heart and your guidance in our life, that we have to lay down and accept life on a low level. Right now, Father, we just ask you to forgive us for how many times we have taken our eyes off of you and we have let the world tell us what our life should be like. We ask you to forgive us for having expectations of our life that are so beneath what you created us for. And right now, Lord, we just want to ask you to take our hearts and our lives. Reveal yourself to us through Christ. Come into our hearts. Make us the people that you intend us to be. Take us by the hand and lift us up and let us walk anywhere you lead. Let our lives reflect your power and your glory and your goodness and your mercy, your grace and your forgiveness, your gentleness. Let us spread your love through this world as we see your love for us. We give ourselves to you and we thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.